I'm very happy now to welcome Oren Moverman. He is the director and co-writer of the award-winning film The Messenger, which is screening at the CCA Cinematheque here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So this is a film about an American soldier in the last few months of his contract. He's been to Iraq. He's played by Ben Foster. It's his job to inform families of the deaths of their sons and daughters and loved ones in the war. It has to be the worst possible job. What was the inspiration for you to write this film?
Well, I actually wrote it with a friend of mine, Alessandro Caman, who came up with the idea. And this started a few years ago when we were talking really casually about politics, the wars, and about he's Italian and I'm from Israel. And one of the things that struck us as strange was that the people who have to live with the consequences of the decision to go to war in a personal way were not part of the conversation about the war. Around that time, it was still illegal to show coffins, to show anything that really had to do with the reality of the war. And so we were driven by the idea of, in a small, intimate way, finding some representation of returning soldiers and families who have to deal with guys who are coming back and guys who are not coming back. And he came up with the idea of casualty notification as a really powerful, dramatic way of entering these stories and exposing an audience to what is happening right now and for many families associated with the military.
It's an interesting irony that you bring out in the film that the same people who are trained to fight and kill and not show emotion are then charged with confronting the most primal grief. And the movie does a great job of showing both the awkwardness of that and then the many manifestations of freshly experienced grief.
Yeah, it's really loaded. We have six notifications in the movie, and basically they're, the longest one is maybe four and a half minutes. So, it's not that it takes up the majority of the movie, but what happens is that you literally walk into someone's life in reality, and there's a story going on. You don't know the story from the soldier's perspective, and this is what's unique about this movie is we're telling the story of notifications from the soldier's perspective. Usually we know these scenes from movies, and it's one scene, and we see it from the family's perspective. So here, we're really with these guys, and they're walking into these people's lives. They don't know what the story is. They have a script, basically. It's a few lines. They have to tell them in the most dignified, honorable way that their lives are never going to be the same. And it doesn't take much for all of us to imagine what that feels like because, that's something that we actually experience in our lives. Unfortunately, we all lose people we love. We all get notified about it. We all have to tell other people about it. And so I think the connection to the movie that most audiences are finding is personal and not necessarily factoring in just the military context or the fact that it's about war. But of course, that's an important part of the movie.
It is, and at the same time, it's universal for the reasons that you just mentioned. The dialogue seemed very real to me, and the characters seemed real, very real to me. Ben Foster, the young soldier, and then Woody Harrelson, his companion in this notification activity. How did you develop the script? Did you talk to returning soldiers?
We did. We spoke with a couple of guys who did notifications. Our movie is takes place in the Army, but we spoke actually with one guy from the Marines and another guy from the Army, and they have different procedures. But it really was important for us not to over-research this, not to try to get it in the script stage to a point where it's absolutely perfect and we're representing real events and sort of interpreting them. We wanted to create these events. And then as we moved closer and closer to production, we consulted with the Army, and they actually fully cooperated with us. They supported the film. They gave us access to military bases. We went to visit soldiers at Walter Reed and at the Casualty Notification Center in Arlington. We shot an Army base. We had a consultant on set who was a lieutenant colonel. So we really immersed ourselves in the lives of soldiers at that point. But in the script stage, we were just trying to get it right emotionally first and then start working on sort of the technical stuff.
The film also explores the relationship between Ben Foster's character and Woody Harrelson's character, these two older and younger officers who go around together. And one of the things that's really amazing about the film is that a lot of stories are told in a nonverbal way about the relationship between these two people. And one of the questions that finally is addressed to some extent more overtly is the question of what is heroism?
Yeah. I mean, it's an odd pair, which you know, usually when you're trying to make a movie, and even though this movie deals with a lot of serious things and with grief, you know, you try to be entertaining as well. And I think when you match two very different characters who are in the same situation, and you sort of track the relationship and how it develops and the arc of how they, in this case, become friends, you know, you pair up a guy like Woody Harrelson in this movie playing Tony Stone, who's a guy who can't shut up, who always has a theory about everything, and he's a nonstop talker, kind of covering up for the fact that he doesn't really have the military experience that could qualify him as a hero. And then you have the Ben Foster character, who is a hero in everyone's eyes, who lives with very real real things, like the guilt that comes from surviving the firefight that he survived, the fact that the men he was in charge of were killed. And it takes him the whole movie to basically be able to trust this nonstop talker and tell him his story. And the movie really ends when we're finally getting to listen to Ben's character and getting deep into the psychology that of the character we've been watching many times in a nonverbal way.
We're talking to Oren Moverman about his film The Messenger. Now, Samantha Morton plays one of the people whom they inform of a death, and she is absolutely brilliant in her portrayal of a woman whose grief is made complicated by the fact that the husband whom she lost had already, in a way, been lost. He'd been changed for the worse by the war before he was killed.
Yeah, I mean, that was really important for us to develop a character who, you know, in the classic sense would be a love interest, but here it's very different. There's a shared pain, a recognition of pain that the Ben Foster character and Samantha Morton character see in each other. But, you know, one of the things that we did with this movie, and you know, you always try to do it in an intimate, small way and hopefully have it resonate, is show something that, again, is not talked about that much in mainstream media, unfortunately, which is, you know, what these families are dealing with. When she sort of stops the movie almost and tells her story to Ben, and we do it in one long take, and we listen to her, and we listen to her words that are almost whispers. She's really telling a story that is happening in this country, you know, over and over again, and thousands upon thousands of times, and which is basically what is happening to families that have to deal with the fact that, you know, someone who's in the military in the family, a mother, a father, brother, sister, is constantly deployed. And going back into these situations, and we know that war is not a picnic, and the changes people and the things they experience and they see are so remote from and different from what we experience every day, you know, that they're coming back changed. And families are torn apart by constant redeployment, by problems that are emotional or physical. There are a lot of guys and gals who are coming back with these problems that in some cases are addressed by a lot of, you know, professionals and volunteers and people who are really doing a great job in trying to help out, and then in a lot of cases, these problems are not being addressed. And she tells her story from a very personal point of view. It's not like she's getting on the soapbox and talking about these issues, but hopefully by listening to her, you start being exposed to something that is going on right now and is happening every day.
I didn't expect to like this film because I don't like violence and war movies and so on, but I loved it, and I experienced it as a kind of a poem, which I realized when I was trying to describe it to a friend, and I found that everything that I said in the film, or that I said about the film, was expressed much more eloquently by the film itself. And so it, I think, a very, very successful, subtle artwork and character-driven movie.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's a beautiful way to say it. I think that, you know, there is no real violence on screen in the movie. It is definitely emotional battles. And I think that, you know, people who have seen the movie and are interested in seeing it are basically going through an emotional experience that I think it's very rewarding for us to, you know, communicate to an audience, and hopefully it leaves them with something that they can, you know, carry with them.
I also was observing the filmmaking technique, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was no music except what occurred in the scene actually being filmed. So the drama was very much from within. There was no kind of cues from the outside about how you should feel at any given moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real score to the movie. Most of the songs that you hear in the movie are source music, which is to say, if they're in a bar, there'll be a song playing in the background. You know, there's always noise going on. There's always music coming from somewhere, but we always try to tie it to a radio or something playing next door. There are three or four cues that are score, but even they are used as sort of organically in the movie. So we basically thought that the material was powerful enough to communicate through the acting, through the filmmaking, the emotions, and the audiences are intelligent, and they don't really need to be told, okay, here comes the string, so I'm going to feel, you know, sad now. I think that, you know, the movie tries to, in a way, have a conversation with the audience, and I think, you know, it only works when the audience respects the movie and the movie respects the audience.
Have you shown the film to veteran and military audiences?
Well, we have, yeah, and not exclusively. I mean, we had soldiers come to screenings, but we didn't do a screening that was just exclusively for soldiers. And we've had a lot of emotional and interesting interactions. And there's definitely a generational difference in terms of veterans. The guys from the Vietnam veterans we spoke to were really moved by the movie and really felt that it told their story, which was really interesting because, you know, maybe the style of the film aesthetically has something to do with films of the Vietnam era, and so they connected with them, with the movie that way. Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, basically, in general, from our interactions, have been very grateful in the portrayal of these soldiers, that it's not, you know, pandering, and it's not doing anything but being respectful and observing human beings. And I think that there's a tendency for people who are not familiar with the military to stereotype, and I think we ran away from a lot of stereotypes.
Very much so. The film is called The Messenger. It is screening at the CCA Cinematheque here in Santa Fe. Orin Moverman is the director and co-writer of the film, and it has won many awards, including the Silver Bear for the Best Screenplay and the Peace Film Award, both at the Berlin Film Festival. What kind of distribution are you getting or hoping to get for this film?
Well, the movie has been out in theaters in select cities for the past month and a half. It's really going around the country. We're a small film, and we have small distribution. It's it's a pretty crowded field out there. But we're opening through January and February in more cities, and basically, you know, a small release that is word of mouth. People are talking about it, which we really appreciate. The general feeling is that, you know, this is a strange year with a lot of movies and a lot of competition, but somehow we're through good press and good word of mouth, we're getting some attention. And the most important thing for us, honestly, without being too humble about it, is that people see the movie and not for the sake of rewarding us for our work, but really finding things in it that they can connect with and discovering a little bit of what's going on in the country right now in an arena that's kind of hidden in a way.
Well, it's a fantastic movie, and the acting is just perfect and impeccable, and it's a very well-done movie. Orin, thank you so much for making it and for being on our show today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. The podcast site is also open for comments, so if you have any comments on the show, please feel free to post them at santafe.radiocafe.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Good Morning Jazz features more of the best releases of 2009 and an interview with saxophonist Lanny Morgan.